All right, welcome everyone. Welcome. No. That was just to get you to pay attention. You don't have to clap. So how are you guys doing tonight? Good? You feel good? All right. How many of you, by a raise of hands, feel that you have slightly more knowledge about our universe and control over your life? Raise your hand. All right, that's the goal. That's the goal. The bottom line of the study of Kabbalah is to be able to make a proactive, lasting change on a soul level for the rest of your life. And it's important to know that we have a perfect system, and sometimes it looks very imperfect because that's what gets us reactive. And we need to be reactive so we can transform it. So the universe needs to create scenarios for each one of us that are just perfect to make us reactive. But we must always know, beyond the chaos, and there's a lot of chaos, there's perfection that we don't see. But the Creator wants to give to everyone everything. There's no blockage in the Creator. There's no blockage in the light. The light not only wants to give, has already given everything. So if we have any desires that are not fulfilled, don't even think for a moment that the fulfillment of those desires maybe doesn't exist. Because it does exist, and it's already been given to you, but I can't receive it. I don't feel it. Where is it? What do you mean it's given to me? We have to transform ourselves in order for the light to come in. And that light could be a person, a career, healing, friendship, whatever. Whatever we're looking for, which the light will bring to us, manifest for us, we have to change. It's so important not to get caught up in they have to change. If even 1 ounce of your energy is being used at waiting for someone else to change, know that you are being ruled by the force of the opponent. 1 ounce, one moment. Because some people say, yeah, of course I know I need to change. But so do they. But so do they is what's blocking us from receiving the light. But so do they. But so does he. Yeah, I can do everything right, but as long as he's doing that, I can't be happy. Not true. Because if I connect to the light, darkness goes away. What do you mean darkness goes away? Everything changes if I connect with the light. Everything in your life, in one moment, by the way. It's not even gradual. It's not like sometimes, oh, you know, oh, fine, I'll be a better person, and I guess in 5-10 years, things will get better. That's not how it works. If I turn on the light, it doesn't take 20 minutes for the light to turn on. The light turns on, shines, the darkness immediately goes. So in summary, with everything that we've learned, number one, the Creator wants you to have everything. There's no imperfection in the Creator. There's no person who doesn't have fulfillment already waiting for them. Number two, who is responsible? Who is responsible? I am responsible. What percentage? 85%? 90%? But we live in a society with other people. Are you trying to tell me if I do my part, that's it? That's all I need? That's all you need to do. Do not wait for anyone to change. Do not wait for your husband to change. Do not wait for your girlfriend to change. Don't wait your sister to change. She's been directed by the Creator not to change, in fact. The Creator has told your sister, don't change. Because I want it to be so hard for you so that you change. The Creator has directed actually everyone around us not to change. They're just there to press the buttons until we go to our next level and let the light in. So that is the main focus. That is the main theme of everything we've learned in Kabbalah 1. And today we're going to make it more practical. We're going to actually go deep inside and find examples of, in our own lives, of reactive behavior, how to transform it, and utilizing the tools. Okay? So let's do a workshop. This workshop will involve everyone having a blank sheet of paper. This is not an exercise that you can do on a digital platform. You need a physical piece of paper and a pen. And if we need more paper, just raise your hand. And I want you to divide your paper down the middle. On the left side of the paper, write down three dreams, desires, aspirations, big or small, whatever you want, whatever you're thinking you want, just write it down. Oh, I want my kids to be safe. I want more stability in my career. I want to finally be happy. I want to sleep better at night. I want whatever comes to you, just you know what it is. Try to write down three. If you want to write down five, because it's easy for you, do five. But I only need three. Okay. In the next column, write down three forms of reactive behavior, tikkun, fears, however you want to describe it, you have recognized about yourself. I am a controlling person. I am a jealous, needy person. I tend to get reactive by lashing out and going out of control. Whatever comes to your mind, whatever words, whatever. I worry all day long. I'm sarcastic and I talk too much and I steal energy from people all day long. I look for approval. I need approval to be happy. I'm always frantically worried about my kids. I'm always worried about what I look like. Do I look good? Am I looking good right now? I have anxiety over my weight. Something we're going to learn more about in later classes, deeper Kabbalah classes, is how all of us actually are tapped in a psychic way to all the information in this universe. Do you believe that? Do you believe that on a soul level, your soul knows everything that's going on? Yes or no? I think intuitively, the answer is yes for most people. That deep down inside, your soul knows what's right and what's wrong. Your soul knows if this relationship is right or wrong. Your soul knows if being reactive is right or wrong. Sometimes being reactive feels really good, but your soul knows that it's not good. The soul knows. And what did the soul write down? What did the soul tell the body to write down? What the soul told the body to write down is a message for each one of us. Whatever reactive behavior, number one, you wrote down, was the Creator's way of telling you that reactive behavior is what's blocking that dream. One to one, two to two, three to three. Do you understand? And it's not a nice little game. Oh, such a cute game. No, it's not about a cute game. It's about deep down inside, your soul knows what's blocking it. So what your soul is telling your body is, hey, somebody have an example they want to share? You have something you want to share? Say it there. All right. So you wrote. One second. Okay. How about this? Here's a good one. You want your kids to be successful. Okay? Number four you wrote. Who doesn't want their kids to be successful, right? But reactive behavior number four, you wrote, you're worried that you won't be successful at work. Yeah. Interesting. That means that if she can transform her doubts, fears, and worries in her career, that's what's going to bring blessings to her children, which actually is very Kabbalistically connected, because we know as parents, we're very much connected to our children in terms of their correction. So if I, as a parent, reveal the light in my soul, that light goes to my child. So what your soul was telling you, what the Creator told your soul, is if you can find a way to have more certainty, and we're going to learn next week more about certainty, you can have more certainty in your career and remove the negative thoughts, remove the doubts, fight them away. Know that it's certainty that brings the blessings and not worries and doubts, which we'll develop more next time. That's actually what's going to bring blessings to your kids. Worrying about your kids being successful is actually damaging your kids. Does everyone understand? I want you now, with the person sitting next to you, to share the correlating desires and reactive behaviors out loud. Please. All right, everyone. Raise your hand if you had a powerful realization. Raise your hand if you had a powerful realization. Anybody would like to share a moment of realization or an aha moment? Anybody would like to share to help us? Yeah? Okay, let's bring the mic over.
Hi, my name is Nicole. And you want me to share...
You can share what it was, and then what did you realize?
I think the first two were pretty powerful, but number two on my list was find my soulmate, and then my tikkun was I'm a controlling person and I worry.
You're a controlling person and you worry.
I try to control other people.
Really?
Yeah.
And do you try to control men sometimes to like you?
It's women, not men, but yes.
Oh, women aren't women. I'm so sorry. Okay, so... It's not that men or women don't like that attribute and that's why she's blocked. It's a spiritual thing. It's that I can't meet my soulmate as long as I act that way with anyone, anywhere. Even if your partner never even witnessed you being controlling. Because sometimes, maybe in a romantic situation, you won't be controlling. But maybe with everybody else, you would be, let's say. There's some people in that kind of a scenario. The problem is our soulmate feels our negativity. It says, actually, that every time we do a negative action anywhere in the world, a force, an energy goes to our soulmate, whispers in his or her ear, and says negative things about you. Is that interesting? It's kind of mystical. It's like a mystical way of looking at cause and effect. It's a mystical way of looking at quantum theory because everything is connected. But now we're going to another level of connection spiritually. And I'm sure you've made huge headway in this area in the last, definitely, right? So every time the urge to control, manipulate comes up, right away you'll feel, wait a minute, no. What I'm losing from this is the greatest happiness you can imagine, a relationship. And that should give us the strength, at least on this level. The reason for this exercise is we need an incentive and motivation to transform and to realize there is a direct correlation. It's a great example. Thank you. Oh, you want to share me?
I was just going to say, like you were saying, I feel like I am getting closer because I've been going on a ton of dates and I've been meeting a bunch of people, but now it's just not sticking. But at least I'm meeting people now, where before I was like in a dry spell.
Oh, so that's interesting. So you're meeting different types of people, higher quality people and more people, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. And this is a great example of when I work on myself, I shift to a new destiny where there is just more light, better everything. So better versions of people, better. And by the way, sometimes when you do spiritual work, you actually find that for some people, they have less dates, actually. Less people actually even ask them out. And they go, wait a minute, I'm doing more spiritual work. Why am I meeting less people and not getting as much physical connection? Well, what's the answer to that? Is it now that you've invited the Creator into your life, the light of the Creator? The light of the Creator is like a bodyguard. So it's protecting you from wasting time, wasting energy. And if there was supposed to be a man or a woman who was going to like you and maybe put you on a painful path of transformation, it's just not necessary anymore because you've already proactively changed yourself. Because if we don't change, we will welcome people who will help us change. But nobody wants to waste that time. Was there anything else?
Well, it's a tiny bit off, but you know how you were talking about the movies?
Yeah.
I was just wondering, so, okay, let's say I'm in a relationship with someone and I have this job. If I continue to grow, will I attract a totally different job or in a different partner? Or is it I'm still going to keep the same job and the same partner, but it's just maybe a better job in that company or my partner's going to be better moving up that way instead of a completely different situation?
Great question. Everyone understands the question? It can be either or. So some people are in a marriage, they've been married 20 years, and they'll come and say, listen, I love this Kabbalah stuff, but I'm scared. I'm scared that I'll reveal so much light, I'll merit a much more amazing man, but I'll lose my husband. Right? It's kind of weird to think that way. And the answer is, don't worry about it. The Creator will arrange the best for everyone. And 9 out of 10 times, it's not that the person will find a new husband, it's that that husband will receive the strength, energy he needs to become the higher version of himself. So, great question. Great question. Mm-hmm. Anybody else would like to share anything? Yes, please. Introduce yourself, everybody.
My name is Joseph.
Nice to meet you, Joseph.
Meet you guys. I want my company to thrive and take off. And then I lack discipline.
Wow. That's an easy one, right?
And I'm greedy.
And what?
And I'm greedy.
And you're greedy. Well, is it bad to be greedy? What is your definition?
To an extent.
What is your definition of greedy?
I might screw somebody over if I have the leverage.
Okay, that's a problem. So some people think greedy is I desire a lot. Is there anything wrong with desiring a lot? No. By the way, Kabbalistically, we need to desire as much as possible. Shrinking a desire is a short circuit. But not having certainty that if I do my work and I don't hurt anybody else, that everything will come to me, that's a problem. If I don't have that certainty. So the opponent, Satan, will try to come and entice you and actually give you opportunities to cheat the system, hurt other people, eliminate competition in a way that damages. And you have to be careful because that will be a test. Because there's enough to go around for everyone. Even though many business owners think, I have to eliminate my competition for me to be successful. The truth is that creates a lot of darkness. Now, if your business is so successful that by default competition is eliminated, that's a different story. But I cannot take the bait and be the one that puts the sword through them, if that makes sense. It's a tricky situation, but it's all about what's your intention and what's your consciousness.
You know, I came from like the school of thought that business is business, you know?
Right, like, right. And by the way, you might be successful doing that, but you'll lose the light of the Creator in other areas of your life. And we know that sometimes a person can be very successful, but have a failed marriage. Their kids' relationship with them is horrible. They don't have inner peace and happiness, right? So you want it all. You want the whole package, right? You want to be greedy.
I want buildings.
Buildings are good, right? You want buildings, but you also want everything else to be good, right? You don't want just buildings. Don't settle for buildings. You want it all.
I want a traditional family, you know?
Not even that. You want even more than that. You want more. I want you to think really big. Don't settle for just one thing. All right, great. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Anybody else would like to share? These are great. Storm, yeah.
Hello, I'm Storm. I had two that are completely different, but the result was kind of shocking. So one was to be debt-free and financially free, obviously. And my tikkun is I don't look at my bank accounts because I'm too scared.
Because you're too scared to look at it.
Yeah, I don't want to know what my credit score is anymore. So that was interesting. And then the last one, all the others were all about money. The last one is usually at the top of my list, but this year it's gone to the bottom, which is to be a mother. And I've wanted that for a really long time. And my tikkun was actually, in regards to money, was I'm panicking all the time. I'm worrying I'm running out of time to like make money, right? But it always used to be I'm running out of time to be a mother, because when you're OBGYN, it's like, you better freeze your eggs, you know. So that was really interesting, because running out of time about money, but it was next to I want to be a mother, which I thought was funny.
That's a very nice realization. What did you realize proactively you would need to do to shift to a new movie?
Well, with the money, I need to look at my bank account.
And by the way, do we all have situations that we know are a little painful that we kind of avoid? Yes or no? Do we have them? Right. Because the body's reaction is to avoid pain. Because pain is not with the light. So why would I want pain? It's kind of a paradox. However, choosing something painful that you know is proactive, it's powerful, because pain cleanses negativity. That's why pain exists in this world. It cleanses negativity. So if you change your belief system about pain, you say, pain that's associated with something good, I want to do it all the time. You should actually look for something painful to do every morning that's positive and do it first. If you start your day that way, choosing something that's painful, it's not really painful, it's uncomfortable, but you know it's good for you, you automatically plug yourself into the light of the creator and you cleanse negativity. As opposed to what most people do is they do the most comfortable things first in the day. They call the people who are the most comfortable. They follow up in business leads in the easiest ones. Everything is about ease and comfort in the beginning of the day. So what happens is the light of the creator can't come in. The light is most behind the painful things. Always. We've heard this before in society. We're backing it up spiritually to say, if something is painful to you and you know it's good for you, know that that's exactly where the light wants you to go. In fact, he's telling you that by making it painful. Pain is just a signal saying, hey, I'm here. That's the light's way of waving to you and saying, I'm right here, right now at this moment, because it's a little painful. All right? Great. Thank you, John. All right. Let's go deeper. Are you ready to go deeper? Or was that deep enough? A little deeper. All right. Turn your paper over. Now, before you write anything, I want to show you something. What does that word say? Everybody all together.
Soul.
Very good. What does that word say?
Body.
Look at that cute little picture. That was the best we could find. Soul, body. Kabbalists explain that the soul is connected to the light of the creator, purely. The light flows to the soul. Everybody wants a soul mate, soul connection. Nobody ever says, I'm looking for my body mate. Right? Nobody says it. Now, the soul knows everything. It's all already within us. So the light is already within us. However, every time the soul tries to communicate with the body, there's a problem. Something along the way intercepts the connection. So the Kabbalists say, between the soul and the body, there's a membrane. It has a name. We won't give it a name now, but it has a name. And in this spiritual membrane exists all of our negativity, our fears, and our tikkun. We're going to go deeper into this in Kabbalah 2, but I'm giving you just a little template. So what does my tikkun or my negativity end up doing? Well, every time the soul tries to tell the body something, let's say the soul tells your eyes, hey, do business with this person. The soul is saying, this person, if you do business with them, is going to bring all the wealth that belongs to your soul. But what happens is that information travels through the tikkun, the fears, the negativity, the jealousy, the anger, the hatred, the resentment, the blame, the not taking responsibility, the being overly sensitive, whatever our issues are. And then the information gets twisted and distorted. So by the time it gets to your eyes, you see nothing. This explains why I fall in love with someone. I know that this is the relationship I've been looking for my whole life. But 3 years later, I'm beating myself up, asking myself how I got myself into this. Because did the soul know that that would happen? Did the soul know who's right for me and who's not right for me? Of course, the soul knows. So why didn't the soul tell me before I got married or before I entered into this agreement or this relationship? The soul did tell me. But my negativity distorted, intercepted, and made sure that the messages that came out would be different. The soul said, stay away. The body said, wow, I feel so attracted to you. The body didn't get the correct message. So what's the point of this example spiritually? It's in us. And whenever you don't have clarity about something, the answer is look within and change something about yourself. You'll always get clarity. Clarity doesn't come from asking 400 people. Think about it. If my soul says do X and my body thinks Y is the right thing to do, not X, and I go to 400 people and I ask them, what should I do? And they say whatever they say, it's not going to make a difference. Because the only force that knows the truth is the soul. What if I go to a psychic, an intuitive? Are they real? They're tapping into past lives, lost souls. What's going on here? What can the psychic tell you? Nothing that you haven't earned to hear. Understand what we just said? You could go in front of the most intuitive person in the world, but if you haven't transformed your negativity, they can't even receive the right message for you. There's no way to circumvent the process of change. Any questions about this? Yes, please.
This soul is intangible object, and we are tangible.
Yes.
The body. So the entrance of the soul into the body limits its effectiveness. Is that correct?
That is correct. And that is why, as we purify our negativity and transform ourselves, the body starts to become as spiritual as the soul.
So our dimension is changing.
Yes.
As we grow through the tikkun.
Yes. And that's when a person is selfish, does he feel light or heavy?
Heavy.
Heavy. When a person is sad, we say they're heavy. When they're lazy, they're heavy. Why? Because they become more body. When a person transforms and becomes happy and receives the attributes of the light, they become light. They're flowing. That's like the soul. They become more like the soul. Also, we're going to speak about this later in our future classes. How do you connect with maybe people who have passed away that you love? Right? Imagine we all want to connect with people that aren't here with us anymore. And this is a much more lengthy explanation, but one of the ways is to realize, wait a minute, a person who's left is now a soul without a body, let's say. So how do I connect with them? I need to be a soul, not a body. So if after a given mourning period, because there needs to be specific mourning set aside, let's say 3 years later, I'm still so sad and I beat myself up And it causes problems, but I'm holding on to it. Because some people, I spoke to a woman recently, and after 15 years, her husband passed away. She's maybe in her mid-50s now. I said, you know, have you started to date? She said, I could never do that to my husband. And I said, okay. And then she asked, you know, there was an opening. I wouldn't have said something if there wasn't an opening. She asked and said, why? What do you think? What do you feel? I said, well, what do you feel? She said, you know, I feel guilt. Part of me wants to move on, but I feel guilt and I don't want to hurt him. So I said, well, let's look at what's happening. He doesn't have a body. The body is the selfishness and all that. So what does he feel? He just wants to share. He just wants everyone to be happy. When he sees you're sad, he can't connect with you because like attracts like. When he sees you feel guilt and shame, he can't come to you in dreams. He can't be your guardian angel. He can't come communicate with you. If you connect with happiness and remove the layers of guilt and shame in the correct way, you actually will have a stronger connection with your husband and you'll help everyone around you as well. So it's about realizing how to shift the belief systems a little bit. We have so much power, we don't even know. We have the power to connect not just to the physical world, but to all worlds. Past, present, future, everything. Next exercise. Make 4 boxes on that blank side of your paper. In box number 1, I want you to pick 1 form of reactive behavior that you wrote down on the other side of the paper. Pick 1 reactive behavior you are most motivated and excited to change. You know it's time. You know the universe is pushing you there. Right? So if it's storm, you might pick, you know, if it's the bank account or maybe something else, maybe something deeper. Nicole, you might say, you know, I'm ready. And you've already started to work on it. I'm not going to be a controlling, I'm going to keep letting go. So that might be the one you choose. I want you to write down what is the reactive behavior that goes on in your mind when you're going through that. So Nicole, for you, you would say, in my mind, what do you do when you feel you want to be controlling? Let's get the mic.
Oh, that's hard. I try to either make myself work a shift I wouldn't normally work to be closer to someone, or I'll like...
No, that's already physical. So I want to know, in your mind, what are you thinking when you feel the need to control? Is it fear? Is it oh my God, I'm going to be taken advantage of? What do you start thinking?
Yeah, it's definitely like this desperation and fear, like I need to do something.
Okay, good.
Else, yeah.
So Nicole would write down desperation, fear. This is what goes on in her mind and inside her. Desperation, fear. And then externally, you would write down, what do you do externally in that type of reactive behavior?
I'll like tense up my body, maybe fidget, not like just relax and breathe.
Right, or physically do things to manipulate and control. You can even write down something specific, okay? Does everyone understand that part? So this is really important, because if you're able to identify the DNA of how we get reactive, this is the first step to diffusing its power. When you don't know something, you can't change it. When it's just in the subconscious, you can't really change it. You have to bring it to the conscious. You have to bring it to reality. And this is painful. Sometimes people are blocked in this area. They're like, oh, I can't think of anything. It's because the opponent knows if you could think of it, you'd finally remove him. All right, after you write that down, I want you to write down 1, 2, 3 specific challenges, whatever you want, that trigger that form of reactive behavior. So Nicole, what would it be for you?
If someone else is turning away or not giving me the openness that I want.
All right, if somebody disrespects you or shuts down from you, okay, so that's what you would write. When people disrespect me, when people are defensive with me, when people attack me, when things don't go my way. And you can even be more specific. When Julie thinks she's better than me, that's when it happens. That's when, what brings it up for me. So even be more specific. When my brother does X, when I don't receive compassion from my partner, when I don't like the news, when I see news that's chaotic, or politics, or finances, or when people are slow, when people are not efficient, when people are illogical, when people are stupid, write it down, whatever you feel. As many as you can, as many challenges as you can think of that bring up your reactive behavior, the better. Yes, please.
Would feeling like I don't deserve to be treated that way would be one of them, I guess.
Feeling that you don't deserve to be treated that way would be the reactive internal, the internal reaction. But what situation happens that makes you feel that way is what you write in the challenges. Like when somebody abuses you emotionally, what do you feel? You feel, I shouldn't be treated that way. So abuse or disrespect, right? So you would write down maybe the last time somebody did that to you.
The level of passion that you have when you are doing something, if it's working or making love or driving, whatever, that's, I think, has a lot to do with how you react. I found it in my life that if I have a lot of passion for something, and it goes wrong or something goes wrong with it, I get all totally, you know, crazy. And
very good.
So, and I'm learning to control that, and it's not easy.
So for you, the biggest triggers are those areas you care a lot about.
Yes.
You have a lot of passion, right? Yeah. That's everybody. That's a great point. Your triggers will be the areas you care most about, the people you care most about.
Also right? Transparency too, transparency. Sometimes you communicate with somebody and you know they're not being transparent with you. That's also another
So for
trigger.
You, that's what you would write. When people are lying to me, when they're not...
They're not necessarily lying. They just don't tell the truth or something. They could be just...
that's what I said, yeah.
You can look at it different ways.
Right, either way, whatever.
With my kids, for instance, if I talk to my kids and they don't tell me exactly what's happening in their lives, that's lack of transparency that drives me nuts.
That's good, but the creator is telling your kids not to tell you the truth. Right? We have to understand that. The creator is telling your kids, please don't tell your father the truth. I need him to see his reactivity. All right. Ready for the next box? Here's a good one. Describe the voice of the opponent, the voice of Satan, when you're feeling reactive. What does he say to you? What does that tricky little guy say to you? He says, oh, there are your kids again, trying to manipulate you. You're the father. You're the leader here. You deserve to be treated with respect. This is what Satan tells you. Satan tells you, control the situation. Otherwise, everyone's going to walk all over you for the rest of your life. React right now. Get defensive. Satan tells you, you can't leave this relationship. You're going to be alone the rest of your life. Stay in this miserable relationship. Satan tells you, oh, you don't look the way you want to look. No one's going to like you. Actually, you're not going to find your soulmate because you don't look the way you should look. It's the voice of Satan. Is it true? No. What makes us not find our other half is not how I look. It's my negativity, whether I have it or I don't. Now, sometimes part of our negativity is laziness, and the laziness causes me to look a certain way. Then, in that case, look does have something to do with it. But a person should not think that because they're not beautiful in the way they think they should be beautiful, that they won't get a relationship. What does the voice of the opponent say to you? Who's got a good voice? Who's got a good example of how Satan talks to them? Yeah.
Hello, my name is Tatiana. So the voice of Satan says, you're not skinny enough, so nobody will hire you. I want to be an actress.
Wow, that's a good one. That's what he says, right? Very good. Very good.
He also tells me I'm a nobody, so nobody will show up to your shows or plays or films, or nobody will get back to you. Nobody wants to work with you because you're a nobody.
Beautiful. And you know what's going to happen after you prove him wrong? You know what Satan's going to say? Wow, Tatiana, you're an amazing human being. You're better than everybody. In fact, now you should go show everyone who didn't believe in you, even though it was only him who didn't believe in you. And then he makes, you understand, he controls you the other way. He says, now show everybody who's boss. Go hurt the men who hurt you. Go hurt these people. You understand? He doesn't stop. Satan always wants to win. He either wins this way or he wins that way. He either makes you depressed or he makes you an egomaniac. He doesn't want you to be in the middle. Who else has got a good voice of Satan? How about the table that doubles in size every week? Anybody here have a good example?
I'll go.
Okay, here. Let's get the mic. You have the mic? Oh, Nicole. That's right. I got this one.
So my name's Aaron, and whenever I feel stressed or have a bad day for whatever reason, not often, but on occasion, I feel the need for sexual gratification. And the voice of Satan would always tell you, just go for it. There's no implications. No harm, no foul. And it feels good, so just make it happen. But in my head, I know that that's not right, and it probably shouldn't be doing certain things.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Very good. Can you all agree with that? Does Satan, the opponent, use sexual gratification as a way to be reactive? Yeah, we talked about it last week. Very good. Very good. All right. Are you ready for the next one? One more question, please.
Can you use the word ego instead of Satan? Because I was trying to explain something to a friend of mine. When I said the word Satan, she totally like walked away from me.
Yeah, rule number one, don't talk about anything in this class outside of this class.
Oh, come on. I'm trying to bring her over here to listen.
If I was talking to somebody for the first time, I might use the word ego.
Ego, okay.
But I don't like the word ego because so many people have a different understanding of what's ego. And ego isn't Satan. Ego is more like the tikkun. It's the negativity we need to change. Satan is an external force that was created who wants us to feed our ego, to feed our tikkun. He's a little different. So I don't use the word ego because I'm trying to teach you guys a newer language that will be more specific. But if I was talking to somebody like brand new, I would say, yeah, you overcome the ego, you connect with fulfillment. That's how I would say it. I wouldn't say the light or Satan. People would walk away. So you have to kind of feel the people. All right? Okay, let's go to the next one. I want you to write down, how does it serve you to be reactive? Meaning, what is the instant gratification it provides? Why is that important? Because Satan knows he needs you as a customer. When you go to Vegas, everybody knows you're going to lose. The hotel, the casinos know you're going to lose. So what do? They make sure you leave feeling a little bit of a winner. You know, they call you back or they send you an email. Hey, because you lost $45,000, we're going to give you a free hotel room. Free hotel. Come back. Save $150 on that free hotel room. So you get that little pleasure. The opponent always makes sure that after you listen to him, he gives you a little cookie, a little gift. Yeah. If you're looking for a way to have an outlet through sexual energy, well, no one's going to doubt the fact that that's going to be enjoyable for a moment. The problem is, and Satan wants you to enjoy it, by the way. He wants you to be happy for a moment. That's how he bribes us. Every reactive behavior always has a moment of pleasure, by the way. Otherwise, you would never do it. You would never go back to it. There are no such things as 100% bad relationship. Satan is too smart for that. He's not going to give you the most horrible person in the world who's abusive every moment of every day. No. He's going to give you good times and bad times. He's just going to make sure there's a lot more bad times than good times and that it slowly erodes you for 30 years. He's smart. If he just showed up and gave you chaos, you'd run away. He hooks you little by little. He says, destroy the competition. And you know what's the next thing that happens? You're successful. He says, great, now take that money, go buy some nice stuff. You're buying a nice suit, you're sitting in the mirror. Satan's the tailor. Satan says, doesn't the suit look nice? Yeah, it does. I told you. Destroy your competition, you get 10 more of those. I'm like, okay, that's nice. All right. All right. And he plays along for maybe a year, 2 years, sometimes 10 years. And then Satan comes and says, okay, Joseph, so this is what you owe me. Here's your bill. 10 suits plus 5,000% interest plus a business. I gave you all these things. You didn't get these things through the light of the Creator. You did it through my method. Reactive, selfish behavior. My method, my products. He takes everything plus interest. Person's sitting there, empty, wondering what just happened. Where did everything go? I don't get it. I'm not fulfilled. I don't feel energy. I have all these things. I don't feel it. Satan is laughing. He took all the energy. So it's important to identify his bribe. When you're angry, do you feel good or bad? You feel great. When you're angry, and you lash out, that moment of the lash, like this. You're so powerful. You feel like you're God. You feel like you never had, it's people who never had a voice before, who can never speak up, all of a sudden, it all comes out. The adrenaline, the endorphins, it's an amazing feeling. Yeah. 30 seconds later, you feel horrible, but that's not what you're thinking about. You're hooked on the high, not the low. Every low lasts longer than the high. We know that. But we still doesn't stop us from getting a high. Yes.
I'm Rebecca. And I have a question about Satan. And so I am really struggling with identifying with Satan in the way that it's presented. It's like with a gender and with a... humanizing qualities,
yeah.
You know? And I, real briefly, was raised Catholic. And when I became a teenager, I completely ran away from that and went to Buddhism for many years and learned that good and evil and all of the were inside and heaven and hell were kingdoms within. And so I'm trying to bridge the connection here. And I am just... learning and growing so much from what I've learned so far. And I'm just getting stuck now with trying to identify and relate to the presentation of Satan. And so am I not going to be able to use Kabbalah to transform because I can't relate to that?
Thank you so much for your question, because you're not the only one who feels that way in this room. I know it for a fact. And if millions of people around the world are going to watch this, I can almost guarantee you they're going to a large percentage of them will have the same issue. So I'm happy you addressed it. I will do my best to try to always describe things in as many ways possible to try to relate to everyone, their pasts, their how they were raised, because I'm the same way. When I first heard some of this stuff, I had an aversion. I had a blockage. Right? And then, you know, over time, you get used to it and you feel it. I will always do my best. I would ask that for you and anyone who's listening or watching this to try to always make that translation in their mind to what fits for you. If you notice, I use the word Satan, the opponent, the force. Sometimes say it's a he. Sometimes, and I only do that because of the lack of vocabulary that I would have to express such an extensive concept. But I know you feel what I'm saying, right? You feel it, right? So I want you to connect to the feeling and forgive me that I'm limited in my language to be able to bypass so many different obstacles that I have to go through to express those concepts. Does that make sense? And I ask that from everyone. I want you to connect to the feeling you get when you hear this, to hear the truth, and know that the messenger is what's limited, not the message. Okay? But it's a great point, and it's on a lot of people's minds. Because you're hearing these concepts for the first time. Light, God, some people like, ugh, God, I don't know. I don't believe in it. I was raised this way, I was raised that way. I apologize. And I'll try my best to use many different terminologies so that people can feel connected to it, but just connect to the feeling of that is behind my words. Thank you. All right. Back to the example. And then I want you to write, how does it ultimately hurt you? It's very powerful when you can distinguish the two. What's the bribe he gives you? And then what is the resulting chaos or hurt that comes from acting that way? Please just take 30 seconds to a minute and share your realization or what you wrote, what was powerful about this with the person sitting next to you. All right, everyone. So the last thing I want to give you is your homework. It's what excites me every morning when I wake up is that my mission is clear. And I didn't have a clear mission before Kabbalah. I had many missions, scattered missions. I want this, I want that, I gotta work on this, I gotta focus on that. Well, we all have obligations in our lives. There's always one mission that should be at the forefront, and it is the most important thing we think about all the time. How do I win the war against the opponent? How do I connect with the light today? That needs to be number one. And it's exciting because that's the only thing you got to worry about. You don't actually have to worry about anything else. We worry too much about things that are out of our control. The only thing in your control is if you're reactive or not, by the way. You can't control anything else. Every other movie is already scripted. The only thing that you have free will about is react or don't react. Change or don't change. It's your only free will. So what I like to do every morning, I block out time and I review a paper just like that of what I want to work on, where I might be tested, how the opponent might trick me today. And I try to visualize what the day could look like. I try to have a preemptive strike against the opponent. I try to say, what kind of challenges might I experience? Well, it's pretty much going to be the same ones that I've had for the last 10, 20, 30 years. And I visualize myself in that challenge with the strength to be proactive. And what that does is it brings strength to the future. Because the future is also now. There's no time, space, or motion. Past, present, future, it's all in the moment. It's the power of now. It's all happening right now. And what happens is when that challenge comes, and it will come, you all of a sudden feel the strength of the light of the Creator to pass it. So I want to do a quick visualization before you go home. So just sit comfortably. Sit comfortably and close your eyes. First thing you should know is you are incredibly powerful. You have all the light inside your soul. And I want you just to visualize that white light just surrounding you, part of you. You are perfect. And you have to visualize the perfection. Now, try to think tomorrow what kind of a test you're going to have. It should pop into your mind because your soul is going to tell you what test is coming. Your soul already knows. Can you see the person who's going to test you? Can you see the situation, the image, the sound, the feeling? The taste in your mouth when you get tested. How your body gets hot, anxious, stressed, tension. Just try to visualize that moment. Visualize all the people involved. And try to visualize that the Creator is there giving you all the light, strength, and certainty you need. Just visualize yourself filled with white light. Visualize yourself passing that test. Not being reactive. Being happy. Taking full responsibility. And that's it. Every morning, I want you to look at that paper. You can even take a photo of it if you want, so you have it on your phone. Look at that paper, close your eyes for 10 seconds, and try to visualize your day. You have no idea how much strength you'll receive from that. Thank you all very much. Have a wonderful week.